Okay, I'm going to bring you this message, Lord willing. I'm entitling the message from what's found and what is said in verse 27, Acts 14, 27. And they were come, and when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them, how he opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. So I'm taking the title from that verse, and the title will be, They Declared What God Has Done. Now, that's the gospel. The gospel is not what you must do. The declaration of the gospel is what he has done for us. When Paul and Barnabas returned back to their home church, they told the brethren there in the church in Antioch all that the Lord in his sovereign purpose and eternal purpose and good providence brought to pass. I think of that psalm where David said, This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous, marvelous in our eyes. He works all things after the counsel of his own will. Now, last week in our study, we saw how the Lord granted faith unto a man who had been crippled from birth, and the Lord healed his soul by granting him life and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and then the Lord healed his body. We know that all healing is of the Lord. We know that the salvation of our soul is of the Lord. We read in Isaiah, with his stripes we are what? Healed. With his blood atonement we are made whole, complete. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and believers stand complete in the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, too, that the pagan Gentiles, when Paul was used as a means and instrument of God to raise this man up, remember, the people wanted to worship Paul and Barnabas as gods for this miraculous healing. They wanted to give the creature the glory instead of giving God all the honor and glory. Remember in verse 15, Acts 14, verse 15, and here's what Paul says. Why do you do these things? We're men just like you, sinners, like passion with you, and preach unto you that you should turn from these vanities, from these idols, unto the living God who made heaven and who made earth and the sea and all things that are therein. He is the living God. So he turned their mind away from them and told them to look unto the Lord Jesus Christ alone for all salvation. Now we see in our message today, in verse 19 and following, this same crowd who wanted to worship Paul and Barnabas, now we see these people were agitated and raised up to persecute Paul. The same crowd that wanted to worship him now seeks to kill him. Remember when the Lord Jesus Christ came into Jerusalem? They cried, Hosanna, glory to God in the highest. What did they say just a few days later? Crucify him, crucify him. We have no king but Caesar. It just shows you what we are left to ourselves. Rebels against God. Now, the Lord did restrain these pagans from worshiping Paul and Barnabas, but the Lord did not restrain them from stoning Paul. Now, I don't know what happened to Barnabas. We don't have any record of it. But we know that Paul was stoned. The Lord restrained these people, as it says there in verse 18, and with these sayings, scarce restrained they the people that had not done sacrifice unto them. They were ready to offer an animal sacrifice to Paul and Barnabas, and the Lord restrained them from that. But the Lord did not restrain them from picking up rocks, stones, and throwing them at Paul with an intention to kill him. Now, why not? Could have the Lord restrained them from stoning Paul? Well, absolutely. He's God of all things. But why not? Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. The Lord could have restrained them.
Yes, absolutely so.
In Psalm 76, we read, "Surely the wrath of man shall praise thee, and the remainder of wrath God will restrain." I'm reading and have been reading Arthur Pink's book on the sovereignty of God and the attributes of God, and I found this statement by Arthur Pink. He said, "God is no idle spectator on the sideline looking at a distance. He's actively ordering all things, shaping all things to His ultimate purpose and glory. God even uses the wickedness of men and devils to accomplish His own eternal purpose." You think about that. We read in Scripture, "Of Him and through Him and to Him are all things, to whom be the glory both now and forever." We see that here, but also in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, hold your place there and find Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. Those wicked men did exactly what they wanted to do because they hated the Lord Jesus Christ, the carnal-minded enmity against God. But they did what God determined before to be done. Acts chapter 4, verse 26. "The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done." The death of the Lord Jesus Christ was no accident. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, "You have taken and by wicked hand have crucified and slain." They did exactly what their wicked heart desired to do, but God used the wickedness of men to accomplish His own eternal purpose and glory. A marvelous thing is the providence of God. Verse 19 and 20, "Paul was stoned, and they drew him out of the city. They drug him by the heels through the city like a dead dog, supposing he was dead, and left him outside the city. They left him for dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city. And the next day he departed with Barnabas down to the city of Derbe." Now, what a miracle of grace. Remember, they wanted to do this before and were stopped in chapter 14, verse 3 and verse 7. But now the Lord brings this to pass for God's glory and for Paul's good. You remember he called these afflictions that he endured, remember what he called them? They're light afflictions, which don't work against us. They work for us, an eternal weight of glory. He says in another place, "What happened to me happened to the furtherance of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ." All things, and we know all things work together for good to them who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. A miracle of God's grace. They stoned him and they thought he was dead, and maybe he did die. Some think that he did die and was raised up again from the dead. Remember in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 where he says, and he talks in the third person, "I knew a man 14 years ago, whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know, the same was taken to the third heaven. And he came back and he said, I can't even put it in words." Some think that that's when that happened, when he was stoned. Others that he was stoned and left for dead after they drug him through the cities and left him outside the gate to perish. But needless to say, here's the miracle. God raised him up. It's a miracle of God's grace. And he goes right back into the city. Now, when you take a big rock and hit somebody in the head, what are you going to have? Yeah, bruises all over. I mean, when they drug him out of the city, he was black and blue. When God raised him up from the dead and healed him, I don't think he had a mark on his body. I think he walked right back through the gates of that city and said to those men, "Hey, look here. Want to try it again? I'm back. I'm back. You can't stop the purpose of God." And he stayed there till the next day, and then he departed. Verse 21. He departed with Barnabas, and they went to another city called Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, or the Lord had made many disciples, they returned again to Lystra, right back to Iconium. Right back to Iconium, they wanted to stone Paul there, and to Antioch as well. They spoke evil of him and ran him out of town in Antioch, in Pisidia. And he goes right back to these same places, confirming the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, that we must, through much tribulation, enter in to the kingdom of God. Paul preached the gospel, and the Lord blessed the word. Many were blessed to hear the word of truth, and God granted faith. For it says there that he taught many, or the marginal reference says that he had made, or the Lord had made, many, many disciples. Remember the verse, you can turn with me if you want to. If not, I'll just read it to you. Where it says here in Acts chapter 2, verse 47, praising the Lord, they continued daily with one accord, verse 46, in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with singleness and gladness of heart, praising God, having favor with all the people, and the Lord added daily to the church such as should be saved. I didn't add myself to the body of Christ. By the one Spirit are we all baptized into the one body. Why did he go back? Well, it says there in verse 22. Why did he go back to these cities? The Lord called out his elect out of Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch. The Lord had a people in those cities that must hear the gospel, that must be called out of darkness to his glorious light. Here's the reason. Confirming the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue, that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Why did they go back? To confirm and exhort them. They went back to feed the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. He went back and repeated the message he already had preached to them, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And then it says there, secondly, exhorting them to continue in the faith. Now, we need exhorted, and we need to be taught of God to continue believing the gospel. Saving faith does not quit. We're kept by the power of God. But we too need to be exhorted to persevere in the faith. Both are true. Even in the face of much opposition and heartache, saving faith perseveres and does not stop. Now, you don't need to turn with me, but remember back in chapter 5 when the apostles John and Peter were arrested and beaten. In Acts chapter 5, verse 40, they agreed when they had called the apostles and beaten them and commanded them that they should not speak in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to preach and teach the Lord Jesus Christ. They were beaten and said, "Don't ever mention his name again. Don't ever go and preach the gospel again." What did they do? They continued in the faith. They continued in the gospel. Saving faith does not quit even in the face of much opposition and heartache. And then thirdly, exhorting, confirming them to continue in the faith even through trials, much tribulation, as it says there, we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Now, what are these tribulations here? These are not the common problems that all men experience. All men experience in the flesh trouble. Man that's born of woman is few days and full of trouble. But this here is talking about a specific trouble for taking a stand for the gospel. Contending for the faith once delivered unto the saint. If you take a bold public stand for the gospel of God, saving sovereign grace, an uncompromising stand, unyielding stand, and contending for the truth, you know what you will have in the flesh? Trouble. Trouble. In this world, you shall have trouble. Our Lord said, you remember to His disciples before He went to the cross? He said, these words have I spoken unto you, that in Me you might have peace. In this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. I've overcome. I've overcome. Our Lord told them again, He said, this world has hated Me and they will hate you. They hate Me because they hate My Father. The carnal mind is enmity against God. But we are to continue to persevere in the faith, and we only do so because we're preserved by the power of God. And we enter into the kingdom of God by His grace. By His grace. His grace alone. I am what I am by the grace of God. And when they had ordained, verse 23, when they had ordained elders, they set men apart who were faithful believers, and they ordained them to preach the gospel, to be elders in the church body. And they prayed with fasting, and they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. Now, what is the object of saving faith? What is the object of saving faith? They commended them to the Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom they believed. Remember what Paul said, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. The Lord was pleased to raise up in these cities and establish gospel churches. What a blessing it is for any town or community to have a gospel ministry that's all about the Lord Jesus Christ, lifting up the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the 15 years that we have been doing the sermon audio ministry, one of the constant things I get feedback from people all around the country who want to hear the gospel of the grace of God, and they say to me, Brother Tom, there's no gospel ministry in this town. One of the greatest blessings God can give to any community or people is a gospel preacher that's sent of God. What a blessing. What a blessing it is. I'd find out where that place is and I'd go there and camp. I'd move there and camp where the gospel is preached. Paul prayed with them and ordained them elders and committed them to the Lord. Committed them to the Lord. And I point you to the Lord Jesus Christ, as I did on the radio broadcast this morning. Turn over here to Acts chapter 20. Look at this verse here. Acts chapter 20, verse 32. This is the Apostle Paul getting ready to leave the elders there at Ephesus. And here's his departing words to them. And it's very similar to what he said to those there in Derbe. Verse 32, Acts chapter 20. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. I commend you to God, to the word of His grace. His grace is able. His word is able to build you up and to give you this inheritance of grace. All grace now and glory forever among all them that are sanctified. By the one offering hath He perfected forever them that are sanctified in the Lord Jesus Christ. He commended them to the Lord to supply our every need. Now, every sinner has a great need. What is our great need? Christ. To win Christ and be found in Him. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory through the Lord Jesus Christ. He is able. So I commend you to God and to the word of His grace. As He says there, I commend you to the Lord on whom you believe. Saving faith doesn't look in here. Saving faith doesn't look to feelings or experience or traditions of men. Saving faith has an eye to the Lord Jesus Christ, looking unto Him who is the author and finisher of our faith. We had on the radio this morning from Isaiah 45, where the Lord said, I am the only just God and Savior. Beside me there is none other. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is no other. Back to the text, Acts 14, 24. After they passed through Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia, and when they had preached the word in Perga, everywhere Paul went, he was looking for an open door to preach the gospel, and they went down to this city of Attalia, which is a port city. From there, they sailed to Antioch, and whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. Remember how that happened? Turn back to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, verse 2. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and they sent them away. They went away preaching the gospel in different places, and now that ministry for that missionary journey had been completed, and now they're coming back home. When they come back to the home church, they gathered together the church, verse 27, and they rehearsed. Now watch it. They didn't say, man, we went out there and we got her done. Man, we went out there and we were a fireball. We're on fire for the Lord, as the old preacher said. They didn't go back and tell what they had done. They went back and rehearsed all that God had done with them. Now, there's a great difference. There's a great difference. Paul went back and said, God had blessed us to preach the gospel. God had sent His word out to His elect. They were given faith to believe the gospel. What God had done with them and how He opened the door. He is the door. He controls the door. He said, I am the way, the truth, the life. They rehearsed what God had done, how He opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. These dogs. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified or vindicated by the Spirit, received up into heaven, and the gospel was preached to the Gentiles. That's a miracle. That you would hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That God would give you the privilege of sitting under a gospel ministry, and God would open the door of faith to you. What a blessing. What a blessing we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. They declared what God had done, how He opened the door of faith. Remember our Lord said in John 10, He said, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And he shall go in, and he shall go out, and find pasture. What does that mean, he shall go in, and then he goes back out? That's not what he's saying. Man, he's not saying man is lost one day, and found one day, and next day he's lost. You shall go into eternal life, and out of eternal death. That's what he's saying. And find pasture. Christ is our bread of life. It's the door of faith Notice he says there, a door of faith. It's not a door of works.
It's not a multiple choice. You remember that old game show years ago? What was it called? Do you want door number one, door number two, or door number three? No, he opens the door, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not a multiple choice. He's a door of faith, not of work, lest any man should boast. He's a door of faith, not feelings, emotion, or tradition. He's a door of faith. He is the Savior, God our Savior. It's not free will or works religion. It's free grace. I am what I am by the grace of God. It's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. God shows mercy. How he opened the door of faith. And when you see that word Gentile, when you see that word Gentile put in, right, you know what you need to remember in your mind? Sinners. Sinners. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. The Lord Jesus Christ came to save sinners. He didn't come to call good folks. Good folks don't need a Savior. He came to call sinners. Sinners. Oh, wretched man that I am, Paul says. Who shall save me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's our hope. That's our hope. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. How do I know if God's opened the door of faith to me? What do you think of the Lord Jesus Christ? Is he altogether lovely to you? Do you who believe he is precious? He's precious. And there, verse 28, and there with the church family, they abode a long time with the disciples. The disciples who were believers. Their heart beat as one with one message, worshiping one true and living God.